You're listening to the Audacious Church podcast. This message was recorded live at our Chester campus. We know this is a great investment into your life. So tune in, listen up, and stay focused. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com.
It is so good to see you today. And I don't know, where with you, welcome the new year in on your glad rags, all dressed up, ready to go. Or maybe a little bit like me, you're in your PJs on the sofa. Either way, it is great to see you in this new year. And I'm excited to see that all that God is going to do. Come on. Well, you've come on a good Sunday. We are delving into a brand new series on discipleship called Followers. So we are in our first one today. We're going to be looking at discipleship, what it means to be a disciple, being a disciple, all the different things. And today we are looking at the message, come follow me. Now, one thing I have learned over the years, something I've picked up about myself that may or may not surprise you. Some people will be shocked, I know. Others, less so. I'm quite stubborn. Shocking, I know, absolutely shocking. I can be quite stubborn. Joel and I, my husband, will have, let's call it a discussion about something, and he'll think one thing and I'll think the other. And I love how the room people are like, yeah, that's us. I will then go on Google and spend far too much time trying to prove that I'm right, or I will graciously accept defeat. But there's one thing in my stubbornness I've really learned about myself. And, you know, it's taken a little time to get here. But one thing I've truly learned is that I am convinced, utterly convinced, that I truly know how much fuel is in my car and how far I can go on said fuel. And, I've really learned that I am convinced that I know better than my car. You know, there was the time when, you know, I was leaving church and I needed to go home, but I knew the Esso garage is only around the corner. In fact, dare I say, 0.4 miles. And I thought, you know what, it's fine. Absolutely fine. No, it wasn't fine. Absolutely not fine. Totally broke down. Rang my knight in shining armor, Joel. He came and rescued me. It was absolutely fine. And then there was another time, because, you know, happened more than once. This other time, now I love to go and do errands. I love getting the admin day done, making the list, ticking all the things off, getting everything done, and going home and chilling out the sofa, knowing I've achieved everything I need to achieve. And this one time I was getting the errands done. It was beautiful. It was great. I was aware that the kind of fuel light had come on, and it was on. But that basically to me says, at some point in the near future, maybe you'll need to fill up your car. But there's plenty of fuel left, so it's absolutely fine. And I kept going, kept doing my errands, kept going. Because I thought, you know what, it's fine. It's only on the light. It's not like flashing yet. And when it's flashing, maybe I should consider. But it wasn't flashing. So I kept going, and I was over at Cheshire Oaks, which, you know, that's not a shock to anybody either that I was there. And then I was driving towards, like, the Deeside and Harden area. But, you know, I didn't need to stop for fuel. Because if I'd stopped for fuel, then that would take more time to do my errands, which means less time on the sofa at the end of the day. So I wasn't going to stop. And then I was driving along, and I slowly realized, oh, the light started flashing, which then you look and it says 0 miles left in your tank. But you know what? I'm convinced that that's actually only put there by the manufacturer, and actually there is more fuel in the tank than you think. So I thought to myself, do you know what? It might be flashing at me now and I might have 0 miles. I think I've still got more miles to go, so it's absolutely fine. We'll keep going. And we were going, and I'd pulled off the A550. I was on my way, and I'm pulling off, you know, lights were flashing, it's fine, da-da-da-da-da-da. Hoodja! Kudda. 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 Now, if it's ever happened to you, you know what that noise means. I had run out of fuel. And I had managed to pull over to on the side of the roundabout, in the kind of Deeside-ish area. And yeah, it happened. I had run out of fuel. So I do what I would, dare I say, normally do. Pick up my phone, ring my knight in shining armor, Joel. doesn't answer. But it's fine, because if I ring twice, then he knows it's an actual thing and he needs to answer. Still doesn't answer, which means he's probably not going to answer, because actually he's probably doing something more important. So then I think to myself, I really am just stuck on the side of the road here. What do I do now? And I kind of take a minute and I look around and I think, where am I? D side area. I know he's going to come to my rescue. So who do I call? The Cliffords. Ben and Anna to my rescue. Anna leading us beautifully in praise and worship today. Guys have broken down, blah, blah, blah. Within like, I didn't even have to say anything. They just knew. So here comes Ben Clifford to rescue me, to come and save the day. I've run out of fuel. He turns up in his electric car. His electric car. And then he then has to go to the petrol station in the electric car with a jerry can. People are thinking, is he okay? I'm thinking, is he okay? They're thinking, are you okay? Everyone's all just a bit confused. But to this day, I am indebted to Ben Clifford for coming and saving me, because I thought I had enough fuel. I didn't need to stop, did I? Because I thought I would have enough, and I thought I would get from A to B and it would be okay. And I convinced myself. I made all the excuses. And we've probably all been there when we've convinced ourselves something won't work, or I'm too busy, or I can't quite make it. I think I'll have to pull out. And maybe it's for you, I'm too busy, look at my diary, or I promise I'll get to it tomorrow, but tomorrow never quite happens. Or can't you see I've already got my hands full? And you know, as you start the new year and kind of resolutions and all that sort of stuff, I'm going to eat healthy, I'm going to get to the gym, I'm going to start that Bible plan, or I'm going to do that course at church, buy that book on discipleship. And it starts with really good intent. And it starts with really good, I'm going to do this, this is my year, I can do it. But somehow the excuses start to creep in. I'm too busy. Oh, I'll do it next time. Or I'll start the Bible plan tomorrow. Or the excuses start to creep in left, right, and center. And the danger is if we start doing that, then we start to think and assume that being a disciple and following a call to be a disciple is only for those that, you know, are spiritually elite, because clearly they can make the time for it, or the holy, holy people, or the people on the platform, because clearly they can do it. But today, church, I want to suggest that when we stop the excuses, we step into all that God has for us as he calls us to be a disciple of him. When we stop the excuses, we step into all that God has called us to be as a disciple of him. So the verses I want to look at, so if you've got your Bible, you can open it up, or they're going to come up on the screen for you guys to follow. And this is kind of like the key verses for the whole of our series called Followers. And you can find it in Matthew 4, and it says this, starting at verse 18. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said. And I will send you out to fish for people. At once, they left their nets behind and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They're in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them. And immediately, they left the boat and their father and followed him. Now, I love these verses. Because both times, at once, immediately, they didn't kind of discount themselves or think, oh no, he's not clearly talking to us, he must be talking to the other fishermen over there. No. At once, immediately, they left everything and they followed. And they go from like a verb to a noun. They go from being really active and doing the fishing, and they go straight into being a noun, just being and following. They left their nets and stopped doing. And Jesus is calling us today. He says, come, follow me. And maybe, I don't know, we need to rethink a little bit. We need to rethink what this might look like from doing to being. And I've got 3 points for us to make it nice and simple to help you out, that I hope today will help us see afresh what being a disciple really looks like. So if you've got your notepads, got pens, pick them up, get ready. Because the first one I want to bring to you is not for those who have nothing better to do. Now, Jesus didn't look around and think, cool, right, where are the people around here who have an empty diary? Where are the people around here just kind of sitting around, twiddling their thumbs with nothing much to do? Or he didn't kind of go, hey, can you bring me your theology certificates and your degrees and your, like, Bible studies and everything so I can see and I can have a look and see who would be the best person I can call to be my disciples? Because, I mean, if we look at the fishermen, they weren't just sat there kind of going, cool, yeah, we're fishermen. No, they were fishing. They were literally doing their job. They were at work. They were working. They were fishing. But yet, in the middle of doing their job, as soon as they hear that call, at once, they followed. And can we say that about ourselves today? Can we say when we hear God's prompting or we hear God's call that at once we drop everything? And we follow. Or in reality, do we start making excuses? I'll get to it tomorrow. It's just my life's too busy. I haven't got enough time. I can't prioritize that right now. Stop with the excuses, church. Stop with the excuses. We are called to be disciples of Christ, learning, growing, and following him in his way. And he says, come follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. It's to be more than just a believer, but to be a disciple, which means laying everything down and following him. And when we talk about being a disciple, this is what it says. This is what kind of a good definition is. To wholeheartedly follow, learn from, and live like Jesus, making his mission and values your own. A lifelong commitment to growth, service, and sharing faith, not just occasional belief. And I like that, not just occasional belief. It's not like just dipping a toe in and saying, oh, I went to church. That makes me all good. That makes me a disciple. That makes me a believer. No, not just occasional belief. Fully in, wholeheartedly in. And Jesus makes it pretty clear for us when we talk about being a disciple in the Great Commission in Matthew 28. He says, therefore, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, the key word there is everyone. It's not like Jesus called the wise men or the kings or the leaders of that time. He didn't kind of pick the elite people. No, he picked fishermen. Fishermen who were probably not the most educated, let's be honest, who weren't necessarily like the tip top. They were probably quite low down the kind of cultural list there. But that is who Jesus called. So I want to say to you today, wherever you're at, he called just ordinary people. They were busy. They were doing. But yet that's who Jesus called. So if you today are feeling like you've discounted yourself or thought you're not good enough, you don't know your Bible enough, you've not prayed enough, you've not been to church enough, you don't know Jesus enough, let me tell you, that's not true. That's simply not true. Because Jesus says, come, follow me. Doesn't give a load of come, follow me ifs. Come, follow me if you've got it all together. Come, follow me if you've read your Bible. He says, come, follow me. Walk and live in all I have for you. Stop the excuses and follow. The second point I want to bring is put God first. You know what? You might be saying, that's all good, Sarah. I like what you're saying, but how? How do I become a disciple? How do I do that? Quite simply, you become more like Jesus. You become more like Jesus. Now, I have a little bit of a tendency, and I'll be honest with you, that when I go to places or I visit someone or I go abroad, I start to pick up like little words and phrases. I don't know if anybody else does. So my best friend, Sarah, yes, we're both called Sarah, she's moved to Colorado. She lives in America. I've tried to see her as much as I can, but you know, America. And when I'm in the UK and I'm here, and I love me a Starbucks, and I will go in and go, hello, please can I order a caramel soy latte? FYI, that's my order, just letting you know. you know, can I please, can I get that? Thank you very much. That's great. And yet when I go to America and I kind of spend a little bit of time there, I find myself switching from a hi, please, can I order to a, yeah, I'm going to do like a caramel soy latte. What happens to me? It's like I get taken over by like some American vibe going on. But it's because the more time I spend there, the more time I become like her. And dare I suggest that the more time you spend with Jesus, the more like Jesus you're going to become. The more you spend time reading in his word, the more you become influenced by it. It says, if you think about the disciples, what I love about the disciples, they were the ones that spent the most time with Jesus, right? They really, truly like were like at the forefront with him in his ministry, really seeing, observing and doing. So much so that they started the church. They literally started the early church. What would it look like then for us to be so influenced and so like Jesus that it impacts us in the same way? Our spiritual formation, the growth of being a disciple, becoming more like Jesus, is valuing what he values and doing what he did and does. Humility, unconditional love, forgiveness, serving others, the list goes on. But the more time you spend with him and his word and his presence in the house with people who love him, it radically changes you. It radically changes you. If you know the love of God in your life, if you have seen and accepted salvation, you will know what it's like to go from lost to found, from dark to light, from hopeless to hopeful. How can you not be radically changed by that? How could that not live out in your life? How could you not then respond to the call of God by saying, at once I will follow you. Immediately I will leave. Because I know in my life what it was like trying to live a life without Jesus to living life with Jesus. And I tell you what, I will lay down it all. I will leave it all behind for more of God. Because Jesus is alive today. And we get to see miracles. We get to experience his power in our everyday lives, and it radically changes us. You know, it helps. Jesus makes it really simple for us in the two greatest commandments. It says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. And sometimes, sure, it can feel a little bit easier said than done, saying, cool, Sarah, you're saying just spend time with him. But that can be hard when the list of things is getting bigger and bigger. And the last thing you've got is time for putting God first. Have you not seen my life? Have you not seen the to-do list? Have you not seen the laundry pile? Stop with the excuses. Stop with the excuses. At once we leave. Immediately we follow. Because being radically changed by the love of Christ means everything changes. And we can be a disciple of Christ. Spend time with your loving Savior, become more like him, and let everything else flow as you live your life as a disciple. Come follow him. And then the third point is the cost. Sure, this might all feel like a lot. It might all feel like a big ask of you today. But there is a cost. But I tell you why there's a cost. Because on the other side of it is life and life to the full. On the other side of it is hope and love and grace and mercy and life that we could never imagine because of who God is. And it says in Matthew, it says this, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. Take up his cross and follow me. Because there is a cost to this. We have to lay down our priorities and plans and trust all that God has. Now, there's a really interesting bit in the Bible where Jesus is washing the disciples' feet. And it's a bit weird because the reason they wash their feet is because their feet get really dusty and mucky and sandy because they're walking on sand and dust and muck. And normally, like a servant, when they enter a house, would come and they would like wash their feet, get them all clean. But yet, in this moment, what we find in the passage I'm about to share is that Jesus washes the disciples' feet. And he says in this moment, he says, Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I'm going to do, but later you will understand. You do not realize now, but later you will understand. And Simon Peter really questions him and says, are you going to wash my feet? Like, huh? That doesn't make any sense. But little does he know in that moment that Jesus is laying down like the biggest lesson of servanthood there is. And so often we can question and we can doubt God and say, why aren't you moving in this situation? Why aren't you giving me answers to the questions I'm asking you? I've prayed, I've petitioned, I've brought it all before you. This feels heavy. Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. Because all too often when the scenario that we've got is this tiny bit in a picture or a tapestry, we see this bit, right? Whereas actually what God's got is a huge picture, a huge tapestry where he has created and designed an incredible plan and purpose, but all we can see is this one little bit that feels heavy and feels like a cost. Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. As we lay down our priorities, we start to see the plan that God has for us. It is good and perfect plan. And yes, it's a cost. Sometimes it might seem easier to solve the problems ourselves. It might seem easier to fix the things because I can see an answer and a quick way of how to fix it. But actually, God is saying, come, follow me and lay that down. Lay that down because I've got the big picture. I can really see what the plan and purpose is. So what do your priorities look like? It's easy in life, isn't it? Family, friends, finance, work, fun, food, all the different things. But where does God fit into that? Where could you say that God is in your priority list today? Is he at the very top? As we lay it all down, as we immediately go, as we follow him, would we say that God is at the top of the priority list? Or actually, have we been making excuses and he's just slowly, slowly drifted down that list? Stop with the excuses. Start afresh. Put God at the very top of that list, and I promise you, you see what happens. You see the radical transformation that happens in your life. You see all that God does as you put him number one. So, church, today, let me tell you, step into the calling of being a disciple. He says, come, follow me. Come follow me as you are. You're not discredited. You're not discounted. There's nothing you can do that stops you from coming to God. He calls you as a disciple exactly as you are, exactly how you've walked through that door today. He says, come, follow me. No more excuses of not thinking you're good enough. Because we say no to those lies. It's simply not true. It is for all people, for all believers. And I tell you something, when you put God number one, it changes everything because you live life in John 10:10, living life and life to the full, knowing you're loved, knowing you're chosen, knowing you're accepted, anointed, appointed, knowing that God is with you in every scenario, every situation. There is nothing that he can't do, that he is faithful. When you put him number one, when you spend time with him, when you become more like him, Jesus at the center as a disciple of him. Oh, there's nothing better. Oh my goodness. He calls us. We should be excited. We should be jumping from our seats at the thought, at the chance of getting to be a disciple of the King of Kings, the one who loves, the one who sacrificed, the one who's got plan and purpose. I get to be a disciple. I get to be a follower, to live in his plans, to move in his power. Oh my goodness, church. What a 2026. If we stop the excuses of that I can't, I'm too busy, I've got too much on, and we step into at once. Immediately I leave and follow you. Because when we stop making excuses, we truly see what we are made for and what we're built for and the plan. Stop doing and start being. No distractions, no excuses. Do you know what? Imagine if all of us, as a body of believers, step into being a disciple, the impact that would have on your friends, your family, your work life, your schools, colleges, the gym, wherever you find yourself, the impact of a huge body of disciples. Because it says, go and baptize as disciples. The calling is great, but the blessing is bigger. Imagine the impact we'd have on this region, on the city of Chester. Because I believe it's going to happen. I believe the impact as a church we are going to have on this city and this region is huge. Raise your faith today to believe. No matter how you've walked into 2026, whether you're feeling exhausted at the thought of another year or you're feeling jubilant at the thought of another year, raise your faith today to believe in what God has. Because he says, come follow me. Come follow me. Church, why don't you stand if you're able? Just want to take some time for you to be able to respond. And maybe as I've been speaking and sharing today, God's already prompting in your heart where you know you've been making excuses because you're too busy or life's too much right now. I can't add something else into my life. But you know that God has slipped down that priority list of life. He's no longer number one. And you know today you need to put him right back at the top of that list. You know you need to, no more excuses. Maybe there's things that are distracting you. Distracting you from getting into the Word. From making sure you're at church on a Sunday. Distracting you from prayer life. From saying, at once I will follow you. Immediately I will lay it down. Church, I just invite you where you are, maybe to put out your hands as if you're receiving something, because I believe that the Holy Spirit wants to come and speak to you. He wants to reveal to you the places in which you maybe need to re-surrender to him. Maybe for some of you, it's you know you need to say, okay, God, I'm putting you back at the top of that list. Maybe you need to say sorry for the excuses. And maybe you need to say, at once, I will follow you. Thank you, Jesus. I truly believe that you've walked in today, and before you've even walked through the door, you discounted yourself. Because you've walked in thinking that you're not good enough, that God can see all the things you've done, and if he could see them, then he'd never love someone like you. And I want to say to you today, that is simply not true. That God loves you just as you are, and there is nothing that could separate you from the love of God. There is nothing that can discount you or discredit you from the love of God, and that He loves you just as you are. And if that's you, I just want to pray for you. I want to pray that you would step into the truth, knowing how loved you are. Oh, Heavenly Father, thank you that you love us. Thank you that you are the God that sits on the throne. And Lord, I just pray today, right now, for anyone who is feeling less than, for anybody who is feeling like they're not good enough. And I say, in the name of Jesus, be gone. All thoughts or feelings of inadequacy. And I speak truth and life over my brothers and sisters and say, you are loved, you are chosen, you are appointed, anointed. And God, your Heavenly Father, wants to lavish His love upon you in ways that you have never experienced before. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Audacious podcast. For any more information, visit us online, audaciouschurch.com. We'd love for you to join us at one of our campuses, Manchester, Chester, or online, every Sunday, 10 a.m. and 12 p.m.